It is 12 past seven and I don't have a fun little jingle to play here, but just know what is happening on your radio right now is the second to last edition of Bunch of Books for 2022. Our in-house bibliophile, Daniel Raphael, is with you. Good morning.
Good morning, Taylor.
It is so nice to have you live in the studio. It happens so rarely for
Brekkie. I know, isn't it? It's usually me on the other side of the door outside squirreling away at work. I don't usually get to talk to you, so this is really nice.
Or sitting in a comfy corner reading a book. Frantically taking notes. Hey, Danny, how many books do you reckon you've read this year?
Oh, I've been preparing for this question
okay,
because I knew you would ask it, so I did my stock take yesterday. It works out to be about a book a week, so whatever week we're in, about 48, 50-ish
wow.
so far this year.
Okay.
A couple more weeks yet left just to kind of finish off all the stuff that's on my bedside table, but
sure.
We're tracking okay.
I think you're tracking more than okay. It takes me a long time to read a book. We talked a bit earlier this year about people who read versus listen to a book, and I'm definitely of the latter. Have you listened to many books this year as opposed to read?
You know what? You really have got me on the audiobook
train. I've converted you.
You've not quite converted me. I still am a stickler for a hard copy book and going to my bookstore and buying books, but I have been listening to a lot more audiobooks. It's great. For time management.
Totally. I am in the process now of retroactively purchasing the hardback books
or
the paperbacks to things that I've listened to because I want them on the bookshelf to display.
I'm the same.
All right. Of the 48-ish odd books this year, I'm sure that you found some favourites. Let's kick off with your first favourite read of 2022.
Yeah, well, this year really has been such a strong year, I think, for a lot of new and fresh, diverse voices in Australian literature. And all the books that I am going to suggest today are Australian. There's just been some really great talent coming out of the woodwork this year. First up is Salt and Skin by Eliza Henry-Jones. She is a Brisbane author and she's written a book about a photojournalist who packs up and moves from her family farm in regional Australia to a remote Scottish island. And she does so because she's really passionate about the environment. She wants to document climate change. And so she goes to this island, which is kind of on the forefront of it all. And one of her first assignments is capturing an image of a young girl who dies in a cliff collapse because of coastal erosion. And it's quite explosive. It's in the local paper and it really sets them up to not have a great time while they're there. And while the family kind of immerses themselves in the life on the island, they kind of get sucked into the mythology of the island, witches and witchcraft. And there's this legacy of the house that they're living in is supposedly haunted by these women who were persecuted, tried and then killed for being quote unquote witches. But really, they were just unconventional women who maybe just lived lives that weren't what society expected of them of the time. Lots going on in this one, but totally one that you can just escape into.
This is great. Not what I would expect from an Australian story, but very cool. Dave has gotten in touch and says, yes, Salt and Skin is awesome.
It's
about halfway through so far.
Yeah.
I think people really take your recommendations on board, Danny, which is the point.
It's nice to know that people are listening. No, Salt and Skin's beautiful. It's kind of a magical realism as well. So, you know, one, maybe not for summer if you kind of want to cool down because it's set in a kind of a windy seaside Scotland town. But yeah, totally a beautiful book.
My first recommendation this year, the thing that I've loved is Jeanette Kurdi's autobiography, I'm Glad My Mum Died.
Yeah.
It stirred up such controversy online with a title like that. It's very stark. But what it is an extremely tender, but at other times very disturbing account. It's a look back of Jeanette McCurdy's life, who you might know as the sort of offsider from a children's TV show called iCarly. I think that was really around when you and I both grew up, Danny. Basically, this is a look back at Jeanette's life and career as a child actor and the abuse that she suffered at the hands of her caretaker, of her mother. I listened to this book and Jeanette actually narrated it herself. The whole thing is like completely deadpan. And I mean that in a really good way. It really lends itself to sort of stripping back all the emotion and just getting to the root and the sort of core, despite how rotting it is, of the whole book. It's not like a hard, harrowing listen. It is at times quite disturbing, though, so I will just put a warning out there. You've also had a chance to sit with this book for a while too.
Yeah, we both listened to this book, and I couldn't agree more. It is deadpan, but I think the tone of it, Jeanette provides this really, useful tone, because it really just gets to the crux of everything. And, you know, child stars, we often, you know, put them up on a pedestal. And they're in a way kind of just like brushed off as just being, you know, who they are and what they are. But Jeanette really kind of unpacks the dangers of being in those environments at such a young age. And I learned a lot, definitely as someone who enjoyed the show and loved Jeanette growing up just as an actor and as a character on the show.
Totally. There's more praise coming in for Salt and Skin. Brad has gotten in touch and says, yep, Salt and Skin was magic. So that is definitely going on my summer reading list.
I can give you the copy.
we'll do a swap and
we'll
exchange.
Do a swap. Yep.
All right, you're listening to Bunch of Books. Danielle Raphael live in the studio with you this week as we have a look at some of our favourite reads of 2022. A few of you already getting in touch. Martin, you say, you're not a big reader. I'm with you there. But you recently devoured Avicii's biography, Tim. It was out last year, but the only book you've read this year and you couldn't put it down. Very relatable, contemporary with all the tracks that we've all heard. And if you've been lucky enough to catch him at Future Music in Joondalup a few years back, he actually mentions the gig in the book. I love it when there's a real life crossover.
Very cool.
Martin, thank you for sharing. Keep them coming through 0405 921 921. All right, Danny, what's number two?
Yeah, so number two is Bodies of Light by Jennifer Down. And this one was one of the most critically acclaimed of the year in the country. And there's very good reason for that. But in that same vein, it does have a very unique and marginalised voice, one that we don't get to hear very often, which is why I think it did so well. Bodies of Light follows a young girl called Maggie, and we watch her grow up in institutionalised care. She's kind of ping-ponged between foster homes, or resi units as she calls them. We watch her grow up and she experiences such immense trauma, and we experience that with her. Her father and her mother were both drug addicts, and that's the reason why she ends up in that situation. And the book kind of bounces between the past and the present, and we gradually learn why Maggie is now in the present, kind of in hiding without revealing too much. So she's kind of, she's moved away. She used to live in Australia. She's now moved overseas, and we kind of start to unravel why that is. This one is incredible. Jennifer Down is such a beautiful writer. She has such a great way of capturing the inner lives of the characters. It just really shimmered off the page for me. And again, foster care, institutionalized care is something that is still so stigmatized. So this was really illuminating. I learnt a lot, but again, one that is great just to escape into.
It's a bit of a thriller by the sounds of it.
It has elements of the thriller. If you've read something like Gone Girl, it has those kind of like flash forward moments where it's kind of bitsy.
I can see you trying to dance around talking about it too much.
Yeah, I mean, there is like not a twist, but there is something that you kind of learn as you read the book. Yeah.
I've gone full nonfiction this week. It's just occurred to me, and I have a feeling your final one is also a nonfiction, or are you?
Yeah, it's a memoir. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this sort of lends itself to memoir territory as well. It's Judith Lucy's Turns Out I'm Fine. We spoke about Judith Lucy yesterday on for Pick-A-Pod. She's just been very much in my orbit this year, and I'm super here for it. In this book, we meet Judith at a point in her life where she's having a bit of an existential crisis. She's worried about her career. Her last remaining family member has just passed. And in her world, in her words, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, which is an underutilized phrase. The entire sort of book puts Judith telling us about how she's pulled herself up by the bootstraps, how she has come to terms with all the things that's happened in her life, and how she's going to continue on forward. And there is a small part of the book that talks about her life-affirming crush on Tim Winton, which does result in them swimming together and holding hands in the water.
Oh my gosh, what an image.
It's very, and you know, she goes into quite detail. Again, with like 90% of the books that I've read this year, I've listened to them, and I've been really fortunate that most of the ones that I've picked have been narrated by the authors.
Yeah, I love that.
Judith Lucy, if you've ever listened to her perform stand-up, has a very distinct delivery style, and it goes the same for the book as well. It's at times shouty, it's at times quiet, it's extremely dry and witty, and it is so lovely. It's this great sort of commentary on aging, and just because you're old, it doesn't mean you're dead.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
It was very promising and very sort of relieving in a way, I guess, as somebody who is, you know, I mean, we're all aging, but as somebody who will eventually be at that stage of life as well.
Yeah, I think I'm at a point in my life, especially where a lot of the people around me are maybe not passing away, but they're getting a lot older and there's a lot of sickness in my orbit. So that's something that I definitely resonate with.
Yeah, it's been so lovely. Lots of fans of Judith Lucy out there. I didn't realise she was from Perth.
I know, I was just going to say, from Perth.
And she talks about it quite a lot in the book, which is quite
That's
nice.
That's great, yeah.
Kind of like what Martin was saying about how there's crossover and references to things that you can recognise in your own backyard.
It's always nice to have those little things that you can grab onto and recognise.
Yeah,
it's
a cool reference point.
Yeah.
All right, final book, Danny. Now, this one, I already know what you're going to talk about, and I have marked it. I have it on my list as like the first thing to listen to or read in the summer holidays. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I think this would be great to listen to. I actually read it, but it is Raised by Wolves by Jess Ho. And if you were like me and didn't know who Jess Ho was before you saw the book, picked up the book, Jess is this kind of no bollocks kind of commentator in the food industry. They're from Melbourne. They've owned many restaurants themselves. They've done reviews and have written lots of stuff in the kind of restaurateur food world over there. And it's essentially a memoir, a coming of age story. And we learn about Jess growing up and her relationship with food. And if you're from an ethnic background like Jess is, she's they're from a very overbearing Cantonese family. And I know you and I are both Italian. We know that food is really just the thing that brings everyone together, and it's the peacemaker a lot of the time.
It's the epicenter.
It is the epicenter of family for us. And so we learn about their relationship with food. We learn about their struggles with mental ill health and how this intersects with the very tough work of the hospitality industry. At the best of times, it's a really tough place to be. Let alone if you're grappling with a mental illness as well. But the thing that I really loved about this book, and the thing that I think a lot of people will resonate with, is just the incredible whip-smart humour of Jess. They're just so funny and so cutting. And another thing which kind of came up was the political nature of food. I think it's something that we don't talk about very often, but Jess unpacks this idea of how, you know, Western cultures often dilute and even to an extent fetishize a lot of non-Western foods and Western non-Western cultural practices. And she really holds the people involved in those institutions to account in a way that was so illuminating. And that's the reason why this is in my top three this year.
Yeah, you had the privilege of speaking with Jess as well. And I had the privilege of airing that conversation on Brekkie. Yeah. I love that we all came to the same conclusion of food is not the great equalizer.
Yeah.
And Jess does a really, really thorough job of explaining why that's the case. Final one from me this year. I talked about it midway through the year because it's taken me about a year to read this entire book. I had to keep putting it down and going and reflecting because it's quite emotional. It's The Sound of Being Human from Jude Rogers. I mentioned Jude back in June this year, Danny. Jude is this incredible decade-long career music journalist. She's worked for publications like The Sunday Times and The Guardian. And this is essentially a memoir. The subtitle for the book is How Music Shapes Our Lives. And that's exactly what it is. It's an unabashed love letter to music, regardless of the genre or how old it might be or if it's popular or not either.
If it's a guilty pleasure. There's a few in my head that I'm like, yeah.
Which is exactly where the book goes. Jude maps out these moments in one's life. It's soundtracked by songs that were really sort of at the forefront of her life at the time.
So beautiful.
What I love about this book, despite working at an alternative radio station, is that it doesn't just acknowledge popular music. It embraces as the structure for the book, all the kinds of music that's touched her life. For instance, the first chapter, which is what actually sold me on the book, is all about ABBA's Super Trooper and being a child in her grandma's house while that song was playing and she's playing in the sink. And then it doubles down with her discovery of hip-hop and the formation of strong women identity with Nana Cherry's Buffalo Stance. So this is one for music lovers. This is one for anyone who feels like their life has been soundtracked by music in any way. If you've ever driven in the car and been like, this is the montage of my life.
Oh, yeah. We've all done that. We've all had that the album of our lives